We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the AMA to close things out. Jason Longshore with us in studio, and as we debuted last week, right? You hang out for the AMA at 1:40 as well. So we'll do that next.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
Get your questions in, all right? Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Any question, any topic, same thing over there on Twitter, at TBM929. You can follow Jason on Twitter, at Longshoe. They get it done last night, Jason. They win in Columbus. We're trying to figure it out. It's now the eight teams are left. Is it the Elite Eight? Is it the Great Eight?
We need something.
Specific to the U.S. Open.
We're sitting up here trying to figure out a name for it. And the trophy, is it called the Hunt?
Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is the name of the tournament.
Is it the same Lamar Hunt that owns the Chiefs?
Yes.
Now, why is it named after him?
Because he is a legendary figure in American soccer. When he started the Chiefs, he also started the Dallas Tornado in the old North American Soccer League. Stuck with it for a long period of time. And then when MLS launched, he at one point owned three different teams.
Right.
One of the biggest, I guess, benefactors when you look at it in American soccer history, keeping it going. Lamar Hunt loved the game. His family still owns FC Dallas. So all that, you know, giving back to the game, that's why his name's on that trophy.
Right. Okay.
Interesting. I mean, it's sort of...
He's a pioneer in the NFL, too.
100%. Yeah.
Well, it's like an Arthur Blank before Arthur Blank, right? I mean, because I think we give a lot of credit to what Atlanta United has done to actual real resources for an MLS squad, which a lot of them have not gotten. That's awesome. I knew that the trophy was named after the same guy. I did not know why the trophy was named after him. Now Atlanta United just have to win three more games and the trophy is theirs.
Absolutely. And you have a good draw too. The way the draw worked out, the trip to Columbus was, you know, a little tricky. Columbus on the road, and especially because it's gonna be pouring down rain every time Atlanta United plays in Columbus. It's pouring down rain now that we're talking about.
Sky just fell out.
Look at that.
Perfect timing.
Good thing they got a big old hole dug in the middle of Peachtree.
That always helps.
Yeah.
But next round, you're playing the winner of tonight's match between St. Louis FC from the USL Championship and FC Cincinnati, who has been really poor since they got a result here in Atlanta early this season.
That's right. We do remember that.
Yeah.
That was one of those games where we're like, all right, if they don't do it this weekend, then we're going to be frustrated. Now, the good thing is that is in the past, it seems to be. Atlanta United has been playing.
Yes,
but they're playing really, really good soccer over the last 3 months. Still a week away from MLS resuming, but Barco was back. I guess Thursday, but played yesterday. So we look forward to seeing him back with the team when MLS resumes as well.
Yeah, I think the lineup you saw last night in Columbus could be the lineup you see in Toronto next Wednesday. The only question mark would be up top, is it Brandon Vasquez or Romario Williams? Because Joseph Martinez will be away with Venezuela. Brandon Vasquez has been lighting it up in the Open Cup right now. I think he gets that start. And then Julian Gressel's had some muscle tightness. Is he going to be ready to go next Wednesday, or does Justin Merrim get the start?
This Vasquez kid, I mean, is it just opportunity?
Yeah, it's opportunity. I mean, he was this guy in 2017 as well. And right. the Open Cup was what sparked him.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting under Tata Martino, he used him out wide as a right winger. Now we're seeing him play like he did with the U.S. Youth National Teams as a striker, as a number nine. And you see his size, but he's got quick feet for a big guy. He can play out wide and beat you on the dribble as he did on the second goal last night that he had. But he's also strong enough to play back to goal and hold the ball and bring others into the game.
Well, it seems like that's what he's better at. I mean, we saw him out wide when Tata was here sparingly. He didn't get a ton of time on the field, but it just seems like the role that they had him in last night is the one. And the other nice thing is, I know he had played in that role in some U.S. Open Cup games, but he played in that role last night with a really good lineup around him. He was playing with a talented group, and he thrived. I mean, it's nice to see guys get opportunities like that and really take advantage of them, which he did.
Yeah, that's the key, and Frank DeBoer has been really clear about this. Just rotating a full team just to do it, it puts the guys who are coming in a bad spot because they're not playing with the best players around them. And you play Vasquez in a situation with a first choice 11 around him, you get to see what he can do for you. And he's a guy who can go to Toronto and be a starter and get you goals.
It's a lot like the a lot like the backup quarterback playing with the first team O-line. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Similar to that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Jay, when you, I think I saw it was either you or Conti. Somebody tweeted out talking about Joseph and – or it might have been Fricky. Anyways, saying that he was coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a permanent thing? Is he, like, not that dude over there?
They don't want to play two strikers. Okay. And they have Solomon Rondon, who's Miguel Almiron's teammate at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that Duda Bell, their manager, wants to go with. Last night against Brazil, I get it. You probably don't want to play two strikers against Brazil in a Copa America match. Joseph came on late. Venezuela actually got a historic draw. It's only the third time they've gotten a result against Brazil in their history. It's a massive point for them. They have a shot to go through the next round. But I think with those two players, those are two of your best players in your country and you're in this generation of players, you need to find a way to get them both on the field. Joseph in that system could play out wide. He could play as a second striker underneath Rondon, kind of in that number 10 role a little bit. You get him on the field because he's one of your best players.
Jason Longshore joining us here in studio, brought to you by Heineken 0.0. Great taste, zero alcohol. Again, keep sending your AMA questions in. We'll get into the AMA coming up in about 15 minutes. Now, we understand the next game in the U.S. Open Cup will be played here. It'll be played in Kennesaw. It'll be played at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. And fans will be allowed to go to this one,
yes,
which is really great. Do you think that the U.S. soccer, I guess, the folks that run the U.S. Open Cup, learned anything from the way that things went last week, sort of the debacle that was last week with Charleston and then ultimately playing here in front of no fans?
It's such a weird situation because when I was on with you guys last week, we didn't know what was going to happen with that game. And it wasn't until late in the day, about 5:30, that it was announced it would be behind closed doors at Kennesaw. The whole process from the field being unplayable to, I mean, referees are falling down on the field in warm-ups. That's an unplayable field.
Right.
You're not going to play and risk players on that. So to not have a backup plan in Charleston, I think, is the more surprising part about it. They didn't have a turf field on standby. They didn't have an option for a rainout date for the next day playing somewhere. And when you don't have that, you have to get this game played. We talked about it. It was down really to figuring out a way to play it, or it's going to be a forfeit. And I'm glad they got the game played. I'm glad it wasn't a situation where Atlanta advances without a game. But you really didn't have an option because you had no notice to get staff, to be staffed up, to be able to have fans in that game. So it is a lost opportunity. It's a weird feel. Atlanta got the job done in that one as well, and that's back-to-back Open Cup wins. On short rest, you turn around, you go to Columbus straight away after that game. It's Thursday, Tuesday. You know, that's not a ton of rest in between. You get the results and you advance. Atlanta's finding a way in Open Cup to get results that they weren't getting in previous years.
What's the main thing right now when you talk about the Open Cup, getting ready back for the MLS season to start back up again? What's the most important thing for this team outside of nobody getting injured?
That's it. Mm-hmm. It's that in depth right now.
Right.
Because you look ahead from June 26, when you get back into MLS play, till July 26, when you go to play the best team in the league this season, LAFC, 9 matches from June 26 to July 26. It's a really crowded schedule. You have an Open Cup quarterfinal now in the middle of that you're going to have to deal with. And you're playing some of the best teams in the league. In that stretch, you get a trip to Seattle. You have Houston come into town. You have the Red Bulls come into town. You go to LAFC to close it out. That will be the most challenging part of the season.
What was going on with the Crew fans last night? I see.
Ooh, in what way? Well, because there were a few things.
I guess at the end of the game, the things that were being thrown, the obscenities that were being hurled. Not the greatest showing last night from the supporters of the Crew, I would say.
No. Weather was bad, so there weren't very many of them there. And that's another talking point when it comes to Columbus. I hope that changes when they move into their new stadium in downtown Columbus that they're building. It's a couple years away. You know, you have new ownership now, but they didn't get the team until right at the beginning of the calendar year. So it was hard coming into the year with marketing and strategy and all of that.
But, I mean, Save the Crew was a really big thing.
Yeah,
and when it seemed like they were going away, people were showing up and were really into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now that they're not going away, that energy isn't the same.
And that's a shame.
It is a shame.
Because it should be the same. And Columbus should have a team in this league. And I think they'll be different in a couple of years. But you got to ride out these couple of years. Last night, frustrated about calls, and you're yelling and throwing things at the referees. Yelling at referees, fine. Everybody's
sure.
Used to that. Throwing things at referees, completely unacceptable. And you're going to see fans probably get banned for that.
We know that you know, Atlanta United, they're taking this thing serious. This mm-hmm. this tournament really, really serious. But again, when they play these different teams, is there a level of, you know, because we're playing against MLS team now, so our effort, we got to be right. But, you know, we're playing against Charleston. We you know, is there like that as far as the players, in that kind of mentality?
Yeah, I mean, it creeps in. It's the same as an NCAA tournament game when, you know, you're a Power 5 team and you're in that 3-14 matchup and you're like, oh, well, we should be able to handle this team. And then they punch you in the mouth. And that's what happened against Charleston. They get the early goal and then they're able to just sit back. And Atlanta has to break them down. Talent eventually broke through. It took 120 minutes to do it, but you did it. It's hard not to have that creep in. I think as an athlete, when you look at the schedule and you look at the competition being at a lower tier, it just gets into your head until you get punched in the mouth in a match.
Jason Longshore joining us here in studio again. Keep sending your AMA questions, soccer-related or other, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929. Jason, we were talking about this in the commercial break about how the target of anger has sort of shifted from week to week, from month to month among Atlanta United fans. And it was Frank DeBoer early, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. And I think that's gone away now because the team's playing really well, and I think everyone's happy with it. Breck Shea has been the target of frustration at times. PT continues to anger folks here and there. Where would you say people are most frustrated right now? And also why? Because things are, I mean, they're 9-2 in all competitions over the last 11 matches.
Why? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Maybe why is just fans are mad at stuff sometimes.
Yeah, it's really strange in this situation because you look at the numbers and you look at defending champions in Major League Soccer. First off, you've only ever had three teams defend their title. It's very difficult to come back on short rest because you have the shorter offseason to be ready to go. It's only happened three times. Atlanta has the best record as a defending champion since 2010. So when you look at what Seattle did and what Toronto did, it's really difficult. I don't know where the frustration's coming from at times. The Pity Martinez stuff really reminds me of Ezekiel Barco last year.
It kind of does.
It's almost the exact same narrative. And that's worked out pretty good, you know?
Correct. Yeah, it kind of does.
That's what's so
man.
Funny about it is it's like we forget that this stuff happened. We're like goldfish as
sports without
fans.
A doubt.
Like, it was a year ago when you were mad about the same thing at that guy, and now look at him. He's he's getting courted by clubs all across the world.
There's not a lot to complain about in the Atlanta United
world
right
find
now.
It. We'll find something to complain about.
It's true.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.